This is an exciting time in our church life. And Julius, we're with you and the team, and we're excited. Savannah, Georgia, I know that's one of the cities. There's three or four cities, and I can just imagine them going into town and ministering and singing and praying, and we are excited about that. It's beautiful. Convention coming up, pre-convention, convention coming. We're praying today that our president, Joe Biden, and his team would change their idea about the Europeans coming to America and opening the borders. So they, listen, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he can turn it any way he wants to. And so to the Europeans listening tonight, we're not giving up. I know it doesn't look good. They've got tickets. They're refundable in some cases, if not all of them, I know. But let's just hope that they could come. What do you think? Yeah. All right, take the hand of the person next to you if you feel COVID safe. and let's just have a prayer together, okay? All right, so here we go. I don't want any, Lord, we are together asking for our convention with as many visitors that are coming with those beautiful hearts of faith. They are in Europe, they have in France, Switzerland, Finland, Sweden. They have bought tickets and they want to come, but they can't. But you could change it. You could change it, Lord. You could change it, God, and open the borders and allow them to come and send them here. And we're just very bold in our faith, like children. We're just having a good time. And we know who you are. And you could change it last minute, make it happen, and bring them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. One short verse for what's on my heart tonight is Ephesians 4 and verse 20. I'm going to ask, I asked on the phone today, Pastor Gary Grunwald, to come up for a few minutes. He'll do that in a minute, but this is what I think he will say, and what I want to say is that I have known people that have learned Christ. This is verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. It needs context, of course, but they are the people that have he is saying to the Ephesians that you have a kind of emptiness in your life. This is verses 18:4, 18:4, 19. There's a kind of emptiness in your life. Could I get the iPad up? I just make a short little picture. Do you remember when you were a little, like 10 years old or 12, and somebody say, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" How many remember that? And what did you say?
Astronaut.
Veterinarian. Fireman, nurse, policeman. Remember that?
Yes.
Now, when you were 12 or 14, or football player, or some rock star or something, and you know, the thing never really changed. You just went on in life, and you just were looking for a role model. You were looking for somebody to follow. And then what did it become? Maybe not a fire. Maybe it was a fireman. But then what happened anyway? It's like the beginning of Ephesians 4, where Verse 1, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. There is something more. Before you were saved, you had role model ideas, stereotypes. I want to be, I want to have this kind of a career. I would like that kind of a job, maybe. I saw it in a magazine. It's the same like with a magazine. I saw the kind of kitchen I wanted in a magazine, so I cut it out, and that's the kind of kitchen that I want. What is this? It's very normal for us to follow patterns, to be sold ideas. It's very normal to have somebody that you would follow. We are followers. But then when you were born again, and I think we could stop there and say a lot about that, by the way, the natural man and the way, how about this model? I don't want to do anything really dangerous. I don't want to leave my hometown. I don't want to take any risks. I saw this little cottage on the by the lake, and I could live there and work in the city, and I got it all and I got a garden, and I've got this idea that I have in my life. There are many, many people that live in those kind of ideas. And many times they don't work. Many times I never get it, or if I get it, it's not what I thought it would be. Many times people go for that idea because they don't have anything else. They don't understand life very deeply. But you can't convince them. Sometimes it's very hard to convince people that there's something a lot more than those cut-out pictures out of a magazine or a movie where you saw a guy live and you want to live the way that guy lived. You saw it in the movie. He just was just plain John Smith, this plain guy, never got in trouble, just lived a normal life, died in bed. Actually, it says that in the book of Job, he was hoping that he would just die in his sleep. I want you to think about this, and it's between you and God. But I want you, and I think we're doing really awesome in getting the message across, but it's like life isn't that way. You have not learned Christ. Look at verse 20. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. What does it mean? Learning Christ is actually the new way of life. Learning Christ. What is it? I know about Jesus. I read my Bible. I know about. No. Learning Christ. This is awesome. It's real. I have seen people in our church learning Christ, and it's usually through trials, and usually, and many times, with the very good things in life that draw us to Christ and faith. But I have seen people from, being homeless on Route 40, I've seen them find Christ. I've seen them find Jesus Christ and learn Christ. It's amazing. It's a different kind of learning. It's a learning where you have some skin in the game, like a price you pay. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth. It's going to cost you something. But many people, and I really believe this, generally people just want life their way. But they don't learn Christ. When I have life my way, there's an emptiness there. I have the creation, but not the creator. I have my ideas, but I don't have Christ's mind. I have my measure. I measure out forgiveness in little packages. I forgive you. I forgive you. But I learned Christ, and I realized forgiveness is a way of life, a way of thinking. It's a mindset. It's the reality of God. God is so forgiving. God is so loving that we actually learn Him. Not like the packages and the little lessons, but the person of Christ. Isn't that amazing? So look at verse 21. If so be you have heard Him, if you have heard Him. Well, these people didn't live in Israel. They lived in Ephesus. How could they have heard Him? They didn't hear Him in Israel. They heard Him in the meeting, like this one. They heard Him in their heart. If you have heard Him say, forgive, trust, give it to me, give it to me. You have a broken family? Give it to me. Learn me. Learn me. This is amazing. Yeah, you lost your second or third job. I understand you. I know you. But you have a vocation. That's to know me. Walk with me. Trust me. I will fill you with the Spirit. Do you know about the filling of the Spirit? And of course, by the grace of God, we can say, yes, Lord, please fill me again. I know what that is, and I need it. I need it very much. He said, no, you don't need it. Don't you want to just be a fireman and live by the lake and just get your retirement and get settled and have a garden? Isn't that what you're looking for? That's what I was looking for until the bottom fell out and I turned to you. Yeah, I wanted to get married and then the bottom fell out and I just kind of began to understand that my world isn't the one that I really need. What I really need is yours, right? And I want you. So, verse 21, but you have heard Him, but if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, what is He going to teach you? He's going to love you. He loves you so much that He's going to draw you to Himself. He's not going to be harsh. Sometimes He will be harsh, but usually He's compelling. I read today in John 16 that the disciples, when they heard He was going to leave, they were so upset about it. They were so upset about it because they loved Him so much. It's like a beautiful verse. It's right there in the first 10 verses somewhere there. And I think this is what I want Pastor Gary to say, because we were talking this morning about changed lives. Yeah, some lives around the world, there are unbelievable stories about people whose lives have been changed. And they have come out of many, many broken, terrible things. And why aren't professional people and successful people and rich people coming to Jesus and learning Him? I think because their building is different. This building they have is a different building. But the church is God's building that the gates of hell cannot prevail against and that Jesus is building. And this has no end. And this is the building that you and I are part of. And this is where we know Him and learn Him. And it says there, in finishing here. It says in verse 21, if so be you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, this is what will happen, that you will put off concerning the former conversation or way of life. You know how you clipped out of the magazine? That thing that you were... I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying when my whole life is filled with those images and thoughts of what I want or I desire, and they're on another level, they're like the first floor of the house, that's not really what you're looking for. When you learn Jesus, you put off the former conversation and you put on the new man and you learn Jesus Christ and you start to love him. You listen to him, and it can be hard. We know this. It's hard sometimes. But I, in my heart, I just check my heart and I just say, you know, in my heart, I'd rather hear you, Lord, and follow you. And you'll give me all kinds of things along the way. I might have that little house by the lake. I might have a beautiful wife. I might have a good job. I might have. But that's not in this context, that's not my vocation. We use that word, of course, that way, but Paul is saying we have some other, we have this other, and that's what we have seen. So we just want to rejoice in it. I'll speak for a few more minutes after the offering on it. And welcome, Pastor Gary Grunewald. Pastor Gary, just do whatever.
My nephew. We were having this talking with Pastor Shallow this morning and just kind of thinking about the amazing stories that are in our church, the lives that are in our church. And one is, I guess I would like all the Bible college students to know this person, because you probably don't know her that well, but her name is Alicia Munson. And it's Ben back there, right? Probably, right? Yeah. I remember when she came, Pastor Wright is here somewhere, right there, up in Havre de Grace ministering. She was in his church, and then she came down here for Bible school, got involved, and actually, Ben, she was engaged at the time, right? She was engaged. She was even engaged to somebody else besides Ben. But she came down here. She came down here, and she got hid in the body of Christ. I remember she was with my daughter a lot in Bible school, and she would come over to our house and eat sometimes. And I was just amazed just to watch her life grow. And, I always joke with her because she was to pay for Bible college, what did she do? She was a fork truck driver in a distribution center in Bell Camp, Maryland. You know, that's what she did. But she went to Bible college, fork truck driver, Bible college. And just amazed at, I don't know when you met her, how you met her, but just to see that process, how you kind of pushed her down, door knocking, pushed her down here to Bible college. And just, this is a story of a transformation. Another one similar. So, Ben, congratulations, okay? These are stories in our church. You know, Penny, if you know Penny Pierce, Jimmy Pierce's wife, she, Springfield, Massachusetts, and if she was a little bit involved in the church, but really she would call herself a bus ministry kid. She would call herself that, a broken home, you know, extreme poverty, you know, a bus ministry kid. And she, seventh grade, she went to the Bible. She went to the Christian day school, and she loved it. And then the church at Springfield supported her from eighth grade to 12th grade, and they sponsored her to go to Christian day school. She had Pastor Shibeli. Is he here tonight? He's over there. You know, just teaching her, putting missions in her heart, you know, to go to China, and she ended up going to China. She comes to our Bible college, you know, and then eventually ends up in China. These are stories, you know, that we have in our church. My daughter-in-law, Megan, I often think of her, just her life, just what she went through, you know, like her childhood. You know, it's like you almost have every right to run away from God, and like but choosing rather, you know, to suffer with the children of God, and you know, forsaking these things of the corrupt things in the old man, and continuing in the church. Like, these are incredible stories. Maybe Angie, could you come up here first? Angie Wright, could you come up for a second? Angie, just, you know, a testimony of Baltimore. I didn't tell her I was going to say this. But, you know, she has a great countenance, right? You know, the happiest countenance, you know, and greater grace, maybe. But she grew up on the west side of Baltimore, right? And what did the, didn't you have, you said 17. What, just tell us what happened in your life.
I don't believe this, but okay. So, went to high school in Western, Jean Marie, alma mater, and just my life spiraled out of control, really from the time I was 15 to the time I was 18. Just spiraled out of control, won't even go into it. But then I was walking on the streets of Saratoga, downtown Baltimore, in front of a Planned Parenthood, and actually just came out of it. And this gentleman, very handsome, young black man, came up to me and asked me, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And I said, oh, I know I'm going to hell. And he said, you don't have to think that way. And he led me to Christ right there. And from there, I was in a church. It was a parachurch that kind of just drew young people in and told them the gospel, but then no discipleship, no word. But someone there invited me to the Bible Speaks at the time in Baltimore. That was Pastor Freeman. And I went in, I said, oh, who's this young kid? What is he going to teach me? I mean, we were almost the same age, but, you know. So, and as soon as he opened his mouth, I just, like, ugh. And from that day on, I went to every single thing that the church had. I started listening to pastors' tapes on my front porch in West Baltimore, blasting them instead of my rap music. Well, it wasn't rap music back then. It was whatever. Motown. And blasting my music and what was, and then blasting pastor's tapes. And then it got to the point where I would go to church and they would say, you got to go home. I said, but I don't want to go home. How can I stay here forever? And that's when they said, you have to go to Bible college. I said, okay, sign me up. And off I went. And I don't know if he's here tonight. A gentleman named Andre, he paid my tuition to go to Bible college. And he's I don't know where he is, but he usually sits over there. And he paid my way to Bible college. And the rest of the story... Someone interrupted my Bible college career.
Great story. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, those are our stories. That's what happens. Okay, thank you.
Would you like to stand just for a moment? We'll be done in 10 minutes or so. Just stand for a moment and just say to your neighbor, have you learned Christ? Have you learned Christ in life? All right, you may be seated. Do you believe that if I had a great temptation and I trusted God and overcame the temptation, that I would be learning Christ? You should say yes. Correct answer is yes. I think it's a trick question. Hey, if I have a problem with my neighbor in my neighborhood, and I go before God in my heart, and he says, love your neighbor. Go over to his door and ask him, does he need any help? Tell him that I'm so glad you're my neighbor. Can you do, if that was his will, if God wanted you to do that, could you do it? No, I'm not going to do it. I can't do that. I just don't, you know, I don't have it in me. I'm not going to. Okay, so... years pass. I then decide to do it. I obey God. My walk there is a long walk. My walk back is very short because I did it. I'm jumping up and down in my heart. I did it. I obeyed. Did I learn Christ? I learned Christ. When somebody steals from me and I forgive him, do I learn Christ? If I forsake my mother and father for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of my faith, if I forsake my mom and dad and my own country and my own life, and I do it for the gospel, do I learn Christ? How many here could say that's happened to them? Just raise your hand. Yes, some of you. You have been there and done that. This is beautiful. And that's... Not a common. People learn about Jesus, and then there are those that learn him. And that's the blessing. Now notice here what he's saying in this text. Simon Peter answered, verse 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, blessed are you, Simon, by Bar-Jonah. What was his real name, Peter's real name? Simon Bar-Jonah. That was his name. That was his name. Could we say that was the first floor name of that man, that Simon? I'm going to tell you. You wanted to be a fireman when you were a little kid. You wanted to be a fireman or a fisherman. But I'm going to tell you something. You learn me. And maybe there are people that don't want this. They don't want it. They don't want it. They will not go to a church like this one. They just don't want it. It's much safer, you know, down the street over two streets, three over there, you know. You know, they don't ask me for anything. I don't have the accountability. I don't have the responsibility. It's not that serious. But this is fun. Because you're only going to live one time. What does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your maturity? You're growing to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Did it happen to Penny Pierce and Alicia or is it Alicia, isn't it? Munson. And the people that, and this young lady down here in the second row. It did. And Jesus is saying something about it. He's saying, I am building. Look at verse 17. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you. Flesh and blood, you know, the school, Google, internet, people, human teachers, flesh and blood, cannot reveal to you what my Father will reveal to you. What my Father reveals to you is me. Christ is revealed to you. Have you learned him? That's how you stay out of alcohol. You learn Christ. I don't need it. I don't care about it. I save a lot of money not fooling around with it. A lot of trips on the road, a lot of car accidents don't happen because we're not drinking. A lot of stupid things said in a family about your children and your wife because your tongue gets loose when you drink alcohol. Why do you do it? To relax. That's what they say, to relax. Well, I want to learn Christ, and if I learn Christ, he said, I have a yoke that's easy and a burden that's light. I don't need it. Please, thank you very much, but I don't need it. That's where it is. That's where I live. That's what I want to know. And many other things that I want to hear about. Guys, I want to live in the world where we are learning Jesus. Patience, long times, maybe sometimes, long periods, maybe. Maybe that's good for me. Maybe my restlessness that I have in my heart, maybe that's also good for me, that I'm not contented, that I want to learn him, because that's who I will be. If we learn him, we'll be contented and satisfied with him. Why do you have peace? Because of him. That's what we're called for. And this is what he said to Simon Barjona, the kind of guy that messed up, spontaneous, bravado, strong, you know, really rah-rah guy, and all that. Verse 18, I say unto you, you are Peter. This is meaning a small stone. And upon this rock, meaning Christ, is the rock. The big bedrock, granite rock, the size of the rock of Gibraltar. I will build my church on me. But I will give you keys. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's a beautiful thing in all of history. The devil's attack against the church is constant. He will not relent. He will not give up. This is a short message. I just want to give this just to provoke you in your thinking tonight. Our children, the devil will not give up. He is after our children. Our children, you cannot leave them alone in their growing up as young people. They need stories. They need prayer, they need love, they need instruction. Our children, the devil is against the church. He is against any expression of truth. If people learn Christ, then the devil is stripped of his power. We will find him out. We will put our finger in his face. We'll say, I know you. Very interesting verse in Deuteronomy 33:27. It says, your enemies will be thrown out in front of you. So here's some Jews coming. Jews are coming, and here's some Philistines that are over here hiding. Why does the enemy hide? Because it's much better the way he operates in darkness and when he's hiding, because he has a strategic advantage. If he's guerrilla warfare. But the Bible says, God said to the Jews, I will thrust your enemies out in front, and you'll see them and find that they are liars. So here's a Philistine hiding, and somehow God takes him by the neck and throws him out in front of the Jews. and the Jews see him. That's a very thing in our culture that you and I want to know and want to see. Because when we learn Christ, Christ is able to say, liar. Liar. You're a liar. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. The devil hates that. Aren't you afraid of death? No, we have learned Christ. Christ is not afraid of death. We become like Christ. We have Christ's mind. What do you say about death? Death, come, God, throw death out in front of me. He throws death out in front of me, and we just see, you're nothing. You're nothing. Christ overcame you. I will never die. I mean, death has pain. Death is a reality. I'm not saying it that way. I'm just saying that the church is of such a power that the devil, the gates of hell, are really, he knows you are my enemy. The church is my enemy. Not Microsoft and Google and General Motors and the government of Vietnam or the United States of America or some organization or a pile of money somewhere. That's God. The devil has no, that's not my, none of that. That's all mine. That's all mine. It's the church that bugs me. It's the people that learn Christ. That's my problem. Because when they learn Christ, we will see that our enemy is a liar and walk on their high places. Okay, so this text has a lot in it. And we can say that the United States of America is in a very interesting place because there's a lot of lies. There's a lot of lies to our children. And we teach our children, you young man, you're a young man, and none of this foolishness. None of this foolishness. I am your father, you are my son, you are my daughter, I am your mother, I am your father. None of this foolishness is ridiculous. Liars, liars, pants on fire. You know, so why does the church, what has happened? We are, and this is what Jesus is saying to Peter. You're going to mess up, but you're going to learn me. And when you learn me, this is what the church is about. And when the church is the church, the gates of hell will work against it day and night, day and night, day and night. They will not relent because they don't sleep. Demons and the devil's not sleeping. He's up day and night. We are the ones that sleep and go through our phases and our problems and stuff. But there is a church, and this church knows who Christ is. And when we know him, cost us something. We had to leave our stupid, our little things, you know, our small little things that caught us captive. And we had to put on the Lord Jesus and start obeying him in faith and find him. And we found him. We suffer like everybody else. We bleed like everybody else. We have our problems like everybody else. But we have found him. He is our healing. He is our way, our truth. He is the reality. He is the one I need. It'll keep me off of drugs, keep me away from becoming a drunk. It'll help me with my money, help me with my relationships. It'll help me with my future. It'll help and guide me in regards to my past. It'll give me new friends that are spiritual. This is not a social club. This is a spiritual fellowship. And we are not gossipers. We are ministers of truth and edifying people because we have found Christ. Not by gossiping about people. We have not learned Christ by gossiping about people. We have learned Christ by God controlling our mouth and our heart so that we think of love and care. Okay, amen. God bless you. Let's pray. This is an invitation to anyone listening to come to Christ tonight by faith and say to Jesus, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you. I want you. I need you. Help me. Save me. Forgive me. Give me this gift of eternal life. This forgiveness, this salvation, I take it. I believe in you. I need you. And if you're saying that prayer for the first time, just put your hand up in the air and just say yes to Jesus. Anybody at all in the auditorium, yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Anybody? Yes to Jesus. And then any one of us here tonight, Lord, we thank you for what you have done miraculously with so many precious people here in this room and on the internet. And we glorify you in it. You did it. You are doing it. You'll not stop doing it. It'll continue to happen throughout history. However long it goes, it'll never be overcome by the devil. It'll never be overcome. The true church, the work of grace, the Spirit of God in the believer's life, he will finish what he started. Thank you, Lord. Amen.